Welcome to FHL. This is Jackie. Today, my guest is...
Hello. Hey, this is Killjoy Meg.
I love how you stuck with your superhero name. Although,
yes,
since your name is Killjoy, is that a superhero or supervillain?
That's a good question. I mean, I do kill joy for a liberal, so I guess to them I would be a villain, but to the leftists I would be a hero.
So you're like a vixen or an anti-hero?
I'm an anti-hero.
Anti-hero. Okay. So just so you guys are clear, everything is going to be broken down into comic book terms because we're both nerds.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to that. So we were just talking about how Iran is getting picked on again.
Yes, that we are.
So you had a story that you wanted to share?
Yeah, so for those who aren't aware of what happened in Iran and how we got into the situation with Iran that we were currently in, it all started back in the 1950s. Iran wanted to make their oil fields public and to share the wealth with the Iranian people. And the U.S. was not very happy about that. So the U.S. overthrew their democratically elected leader, put in a Shah who was a dictator who abused the people of Iran. In 1979, there was the Iranian Revolution and the hostage crisis that occurred in 1979 that lasted until 1980. And that basically got us into the situation that we're in now. It's just been the U.S. and versus Iran. And now, because Israel is a puppet of the United States, Israel is attacking Iran. And they have taken credit for attacking a Iranian nuclear site. So they caused a blackout at the nuclear site. Iran is pissed off and is vowing revenge. So there we are.
See, I don't know about your version of the U.S.'s involvement, because we all know the U.S. is always the good guys. I mean, they are the Superman. They are the classic superhero type, you know.
Mm-hmm. When you send Captain America into a place where he's not supposed to be and ends up with blood on his shield.
Oh, you went right for the jugular. First of all, that is not Captain America. Okay.
No, he's not.
No.
John Walker will never be Captain America.
He could never. Sam Wilson is Captain America.
He will be Captain America. I am looking forward to that.
Okay. So. So basically the U.S. is actually Homelander, but we believe that we're Superman.
Yes, there you go. And okay. Homelander, of course, is Superman meets Captain America. So it all fits together.
Homelander is Brightburn meets Superman.
That is true.
Yeah.
He is very much a Brightburn. Psychotic.
Yeah. Very psychotic. So.
He just needs a mommy figure. He needs a hug.
Oh, he needs way more than that. Poor Iran, man. They just keep getting picked on and then vilified by the people who are picking on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's super fucked up. Yeah, so you were saying AOC had some involvement with this?
Yeah. So quickly, though, luckily Iran does have backup coming up, considering they just maybe 2 weeks ago signed a major trade and allyship with China. So China is now on Team Iran. So we'll see how that goes.
We're in another Cold War. Isn't that awesome? Maybe this one can last 30 years. I hate this timeline. I would just like to say, whatever stone the Avengers forgot to return, I don't think it's fair that we have to live through this bullshit because y'all couldn't defeat Thanos properly. Like, this is not cool. We've had COVID. Now we're going through another damn Cold War. We don't even get the benefit of superheroes.
Yeah, maybe the Flash can reverse time for us and let us have a do-over.
No, I don't think so. You know what? Okay, so political pause. MatPat, you know who that is from YouTube?
No.
He does his film theory. No. Anyway, it's a super.
No, sorry, don't know.
Anyway, he has this theory that the Snyder Cut of the Justice League is in the same universe as the Justice Cut of Justice League.
Okay.
But that the Snyder Cut is what happens when the Flashpoint goes back and he actually saves Lois. And the Justice Cut is when he doesn't. So in the Justice Cut, you know, the nightmare version where Darkseid comes?
Yeah.
That actually happens. Superman goes bad, anti-life equation, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. But then in the Snyder Cut, that doesn't happen because Bruce's haunt, because what's his name went back, Barry Allen went back far enough and got to him, and Bruce keeps that on his mind. So Darkseid doesn't come back.
That's
and
an Superman interesting doesn't theory.
Go bad. Yeah.
That is a, yeah, that's a very interesting theory. I don't know if it will, I mean, granted, we'll never, if Warner Brothers has their way, we will never get to see what happens after the Snyder Cut. So for all he, for all I know, he, that might be great. And we may never find out.
But they're still apparently going to do a Flashpoint. They're hanging on to that so that they can, basically they want to do like indefinite reboots, but make it all still connected. And it's like, let it go. Because if you go down this route, you're going to do a New 52 and everybody's going to hate you even more.
Mm-hmm. New 52 was awful.
Pull in Elsa and let it go.
Yeah. I mean, the apparently the idea of the Flash movie is basically just to write Batfleck out of existence. And basically say, okay, the Snyderverse no longer exists. Sorry.
But also, well, it's supposed to also connect like Michael Keaton's Batman.
Yeah.
So it's basically their way of saying like every single version of Batman was real. Wink, wink. So just get over that one. We're going to Robert Pattinson now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So weak ass sauce. Ketchup. That's what that is. Anyhow.
We deserve Homelander.
God damn it. I mean, you know what we have? The U.S. in real life is John Walker, but we think we're Steve Rogers. That's how fucked up this is.
Yes, that is 100% accurate.
Yes. So, by the way, this podcast is politics nerd version. Get used to it.
Nerd politics. Love it.
Oh, my gosh. We should start a new podcast. That's an amazing idea. We take the stories that happen every week and we break it down comic book style. And we're like, so this is like when Martian Manhunter. That would be awesome.
I love that idea. That's fantastic.
I kind of want to do that now. This is like take some stories and break it down nerd-wise. Oh, that'd be...
I think we definitely found a bit of a thing there. Like, so now on Mondays on the Fred Hampton Leftist Network, you will find Nerd Politics.
We gotta come up with a cool name, like if it's like some one word like Nerdolitics or some shit. I don't know. Gotta come up with it. It's like for the leftist.
We'll brainstorm.
Yes.
We will brainstorm.
We'll get on that. We'll have to do it. That'd be so dope. Now I like really want to do this. Awesome. Yeah, we could pull out all the nerddoms. This is great.
Love it.
Yeah. So okay. So AOC's involvement in this mess.
So she's not involved with the whole Iran part of it, but last week she had an interview with, I guess they're in like a group that is pro-Israel, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. She was asked about how they can create peace in the region. And she just came up with this word salad excuse. Basically, like, you know, we shouldn't be caring about the what, but about the how. And it was very confusing.
So she's a straight politician now.
Basically.
Gotcha.
Like, it was very confusing. It seemed like she had, like, the guy had asked about, like, the Abraham Accords, which, to be honest, I don't know what that is. And I'm assuming she didn't know either, considering she was obfuscating big time. And I don't know why she didn't just say, okay, I'm not familiar with the Abraham Accords, so I can't really address that. But it's like, okay, just talk about how you feel about what's happening in Israel. It's like, okay, how do we create peace in Israel? What's your response to that? Like, okay, AOC, what is your how? You want to say the how is important. What's the how? Just get to the point.
Okay, and so I just looked up the Abraham Accords. And apparently, the joint statement between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and the United States reached on August 13th, 2020. Subsequently, the term was used to refer collectively to the agreements between Israel and the UAE, respectively, blah, blah, blah. Statement marked the first public normalization of relations between an Arab country and Israel since that of Egypt in 1979 and Jordan in 1994. I just love how we're like, oh, the Western countries are getting along with the Middle East now after just a century of going in there to fuck shit up. Mm-hmm. It's like we go in there and we're like, hey, we're going to take your shit. And they're like, no, you're not. We don't want you to take your shit. And then we're like, terrorist. And then they're like, no, we just don't want you to take our shit. And then they're like, okay, we'll fight amongst each other. And then when they're like, hey, why are we fighting each other? Let's fight the people who made us fight each other. Then we're like, terrorist. And then we come in and we're like, look, we want peace. So just let us take your shit and we will leave you in peace. We're just going to install our own governor to make sure that you guys don't try to, like, you know, kick us out again. And they're like, no, we don't fucking want that. We just want to be left alone. And then we're like, terrorists. Like, that's pretty much how the Middle East got so fucked up. But it's not just the US. It's like all of the Western powers.
Basically, yeah. And Israel is like the little, like Joe Biden said it himself. It's like, if there was no Israel, then we would have to create an Israel. And yes. not to be a home for Israelis or Jewish people, but simply because they need a foothold in the region. And that's what Israel is.
Yes. Yes. Israel is their landing pad, basically. It's like, so, you know how during the Cold War, Russia was like, okay, we can't possibly send our nukes from Russia all the way to the US. That's too damn far. Hey, Cuba's right next door. What if we park some there? Then if they fuck with us, we can push a button in like 15 minutes, kaboom. And
exactly.
The U.S. was like, we can't send our nukes from the U.S. to Russia. Hey, Turkey's right there. What if we put our bombs in, we send some nukes to Turkey. Then if they piss us off, we push a button, boom, 20 minutes, they're gone. Israel is that for the Middle East.
Exactly.
That's why the America and UK are so into Israel. They don't really give a damn about actual, like, a lot of people are like, oh, if you're anti-Israel, you're anti-Semitic. No, being anti-Jewish is being anti-Semitic. Israel is a country. They're two separate situations.
And especially when you have the nation of Israel, basically mowing over Palestinians and taking their land and creating settlements. It's like, it's an apartheid state. It is an apartheid state, and people have got to be more clear about that. It's like that you can't just come into Palestinian land and say, okay, you know, two-state solution, but really it's not a two-state solution because we're going to come in. And now they're doing the same thing in Syria too, trying to take over Syrian land.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I was listening to, I think, Aaron Mate talk about this, and he was saying, like, the whole thing is they are basically breaking the Geneva Accords. You can't take over land. You can't do that. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah. It's funny how the last time that happened in world history, people were like, hey, this is a bad idea. Maybe don't do that. And then it actually took Russia to be like, yeah, we're not going to let you do that. And now, like, why are we trying to make Russia the bad guys again? It's like, it's almost like the Democrats and Republicans, their really only fight is who to start the next Cold War with. The Republicans want it to still be with Russia and the Republicans want it to be with China and the Democrats want it to be with Russia. And so it's like, we need a big red bad guy so that we can be the good guys, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like all of this is manufactured because, like, when you look at who's actually controlling this country, it's the corporations. And we have so many weapons that we will probably never use. And like nowadays, most things can be done with drones anyway. So we really don't need a lot of the things, the weapons that we're manufacturing. And once people start to recognize that, then they're going to be like, oh, okay, well, then we'll just have to start a war so that we can go use all this stuff. I feel like that's what's happening. Like, we made so many weapons to keep these corporations and, you know, to keep giving these corporations these fat checks that now these corporations are like, okay, now we need wars so that we can use those weapons so that you can order more weapons.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you see exactly what they're doing with the weapons. They're sending them to Israel. They're sending them to Saudi Arabia. They're sending them to our police officers.
Yes. Which just, I'm amazed that that is okay. Because mm-hmm. we should never have militarized our own police. That's mm-hmm. a bad idea. That's
100%.
You know what? There is a storyline in the comics that reminds me of this, of like how this all goes terribly wrong. It's mm-hmm. called Secret Empire from the MCU.
Yes.
And if you've read it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't end well. It doesn't end well at all. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Not good. Black Widow dies. It's a whole thing. Lots of people die, actually. Hell, mm-hmm. Steve Rogers, technically, kind of dead.
Yeah.
But not really. He comes back. It's comics. Nobody stays dead. That's comics. Real life, fuckers stay dead.
Yeah. Unless they're a female character, then sometimes they do stay dead.
Yes.
Or they'll come back irreparably harmed, unlike a lot of male. There's a lot of fridging going on. There's a lot of fridging.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of fridging going on. Let's be real.
Yeah. But I mean, Uncle Ben is the one character that's.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Like, never to be resurrected. Mm-hmm. Aunt May comes back all the time. But
yeah. Even Jonathan Kent. Jonathan, like, every single time that they want to redo Superman, like, oh, look, Jonathan Kent's back. Where'd he come from? I thought he was dead.
Which is amazing to me because the story always goes Lois Lane is how Superman stays human. And I'm like, that's bullshit because you already gave him human parents. He doesn't need the woman to keep him. He can easily go, let him be with Wonder Woman. Let them have the freaky sex that only the two of them can have because he would literally kill a human if he tried it. I'm just saying. I will edit this out. But just saying. Yeah.
I was not mad at the whole Superman-Wonder Woman relationship. That is not something I was mad about.
Doesn't that make more sense?
That was one of the additions to the New 52 that I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I see it. I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm also not, like, I'm okay with Martian Manhunter and Hawkgirl.
Oh, I don't think I ever heard about that relationship.
There's a version where they have a son named Shane.
Nice.
And it's interesting because he looks like if Martian Manhunter had like a human head,
mm-hmm.
that's it. When it was like a teenager, that's what he looks like. But he has wings. He has wings like Hawkgirl.
So if he was always just John Jones?
No, because John Jones looks like a human, but he's still like, so if you were to take Martian Manhunter and just put his head down to like a bald human version, because you know how he's got like the pointy thing, so he very definitely looks mm-hmm. like a Martian. If you just like make it look like a human head that with no hair.
Okay.
And but he's still green, and then he's got his mom's wings and his eyes are black.
Yeah. That's intriguing.
Yeah. And he like helps the Justice League. And it's really cool because like I'm pretty sure like at that point, there's another situation where she has a kid with Green Lantern with Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, all there are different realities and like in different versions, she has a kid with different people. Well, it's just like in the MCU, because in one version, Steve and Nat got together and had a son and he's the next super soldier.
Yeah. Or even, you know, Jean Grey and Scott Summers, like how many babies have they had in different realities?
Well, yeah, but they all still stick around though.
That's true.
Like, somehow they come to like Earth 616, our timeline, and then like never go home. Like, okay, I guess you're here now. And so like
welcome, Cable. Nice to see ya.
Right. And then there's the girl, I can't remember her name, but they have the daughter.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, but she's like pretty much like exactly like her mom. But like her mom doesn't like her. And I'm like, you know what? It would be awesome to see you and Cable because technically you're siblings, but like from different timelines. So, I know comics are fucked up, but you know.
They are.
What can you do?
Way too many timelines.
It's, yes.
That's why people have a lot of difficulty getting into comics because there are so many storylines, so many timelines. And it's like, okay, I don't even know where to jump in.
Yes. And like, and so some people got mad at me on Twitter because during WandaVision, I said, Wanda is a mutant. She always has been. And people are like, ha, you don't read comics. She's not a mutant anymore. And I'm like, well, fuckers, she's been retconned about 16 times. So maybe get off my ass.
Exactly. They were like,
in the Axis event, it was taken away from her. She's not a mutant. Now she's just, you know, the Scarlet Witch is its own thing. And I'm like, I didn't read Axis because it looked super lame. There are very few people who have read all comics for like to know everything that's going on. Usually right? People either pick a character and they follow that character's rabbit hole, or you're like me and you just read big events. And you're like, what's this event going on? And then like every now and then, like a small event might interest you. So you'll be like, oh, I'm just going to read this episode, like these issues of Wolverine until I get bored. Mm-hmm. Like most people, that's the case. Most people are not reading every episode of everything to ever come out. So.
Right. And even people who just follow the MCU, like if they don't read the comics, then you could be like, well, did you know that, you know, she's the daughter of Magneto? They're like, wait, what? It's like, like that's how crazy this whole thing is because for the longest time, like when Marvel owned Witch rights, Fox owned the X-Men rights, so they couldn't use the X-Men, they couldn't use Magneto, so they had to come up with some other way in order to have Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. But oh look, Quicksilver is also here in the Fox universe, so now we have to kill him off in the Marvel universe.
Actually, that's not why they killed off Quicksilver.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
No, the reason why they killed off Quicksilver is because he got Whedoned. Because Joss Whedon doesn't know how to give a character motivation or a team motivation without killing off a main character. And that's what happened. That's what happened in the Avengers. It happened with Coulson. That's why they all got together. And it happened in Avengers Age of Ultron. He wanted to kill off Hawkeye and the studio said no. So he killed off Quicksilver, which pisses me off because Quicksilver is an awesome character.
But yeah, I would love them to bring him back whenever they finish this whole House of M storyline that they've got going on.
Oh yes, wouldn't it be cool now that she's the Scarlet Witch if she really could resurrect him? That would be awesome. Or if like she opens up, because you know with Multiverse of Madness, like anything could happen because there are multiverses. So maybe she gets Multiverse Quicksilver. I'm okay with Multiverse Quicksilver being Evan Peters just because Aaron Taylor Johnson says he doesn't want to do it anymore. But I would prefer Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Agreed. And considering they've already kind of butchered the whole idea of having Evan Peters by making him Ralph, they've basically already stepped in it with that, but
not necessarily, because like, I mean we're in a world of, you know, the big three, aliens, wizards, and, just saying, so it could happen. It's comics. Come on,
that's true.
Like her children that she created out of nothing are still alive. Her brother could be there.
I kind of am sad that they didn't go the Mephisto route with that.
Oh, I think he's still coming though. Because like to me they did go the Mephisto route. They just didn't physically show him. Because at the very end, when she's reading the book, like first of all, that book was written by C'thon. And second, when she hears her children, well, how do you think she hears her children? Because they're shards of Mephisto's soul. So to me, they did. They just like they're like, hey, comic nerds, don't give up hope yet.
Yeah.
The big M is still coming and not Magneto. So yeah, that'd be awesome. But do you think Spider-Man is going to like sell somebody to Mephisto so that he can save Aunt May?
Oh man.
I know there's so many weird comic book arcs. There's so many. Okay.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
Unfortunately, I feel like we need to go back to real life. It's so depressing.
Do we have to?
Okay. So,
But it's kind of, but seriously though, like the whole John Walker, you made the point that John Walker is basically what the United States is. Yes. Whereas the United States thinks they're Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
And I mean, even when we're talking about like Israel, that's basically what we're talking about, or the fact that Israel, or that the United States just go into places and act like, oh yeah, we're here to save the day, but really you're just making everything 20 times worse.
That's John Walker. Yes. We go just like John Walker. We walk in and we're like, do you know who I am? And people are like, we don't give a shit. And then we're exactly. like, oh, did you forget that we have nukes, AKA the shield? And then, but this, like, so the US is John Walker after the serum. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's really good. Just saying.
It is. It's very good. It's honestly one of my favorite projects they've done so far.
It is.
Because I like political thrillers. So to me, and this is one of the things that why I love Captain America Winter Soldier. Like, that was such a good movie. And this really kind of captures that energy.
Yes, very much so. And it does it without Steve, which is amazing. Because a lot of times in shows that are built around one character, you take out that character and the show can't survive. But in this situation, they took out that character and the show got better. They Yeah, they focused more on global politics. They even focused on at-home politics, like with the racism. And, like, this show just nails it. You know what I just realized? We could totally talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, just the political aspects of it, because it's a very political show.
It is a very political show.
Yeah.
Like, even the fact that they were experimenting on Isaiah.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah, you have one black super soldier, and he's the one you experiment on. Okay, yeah, that tracks.
Well, they experimented on him to get to him. So, okay, so the parallel to real life is Tuskegee. We actually did this in Tuskegee. And so the reason why, like, I love how, like, some people are like, why wouldn't black people trust the government? Because we've been here before. So in Tuskegee, what happened was, it was the first time, like during World War II, that they allowed black soldiers to be pilots. And they decided to do an experiment on black soldiers who volunteered. They told them that they were giving them a vaccine. Also, if you want to know why black people have a little bit of a tendency to not believe the government when it comes to vaccines, the US government told these soldiers who enlisted that they were going to give them a vaccine. And it turns out they were injecting them with syphilis. And they wanted to do an experiment to see how it how people reacted to it. And they only did it to black soldiers, which is why syphilis is a disease that is rampant through the black community, because it was literally injected into them. If you don't believe me, literally Google the Tuskegee experiment, because that will that'll explain it. And so in the Marvel universe, both the comics and in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, they were trying to, the US government, after Steve Rogers, and like in 1945, he went into the water and they were like, okay, we need to try to recreate the serum. They didn't have all of Erskine's notes. Erskine is now dead. The serum has been destroyed, at least as far as they think the serum has been destroyed. And Steve Rogers is nowhere to be found, meaning they can't just take a blood sample and, you know, reverse engineer it. So they're trying to figure it out, but they need test subjects. So they enlist, they take enlisted black men and they experiment on them. Most of them died. One survived and actually managed to become a super soldier. And that was Isaiah Bradley. When he survived, instead of giving him his own shield and turning him into the new Captain America, they sent him, they essentially used him as the US's version of a Winter Soldier. They sent him into missions that were essentially suicide missions. And one of those missions was to take out the actual Winter Soldier, Bucky. And he managed to beat Bucky and destroy half his arm, but Bucky got away. That's how Bucky knew him. But then they kept fucking with him. And when he did like one thing to try to stop that, they imprisoned him for 30 years. In the comics, it was 17. In the MCU, it's 30 years. And they experimented on him the entire time, which is where they got the blue serum for the test subjects, that for the testing that they were doing in the Incredible Hulk. Remember in the Incredible Hulk when Thunderbolt Ross goes to get the serum to give to Abomination? You might think, where did he get that serum from? Well, they got it from testing Isaiah.
And it's the same way that they create, if I remember correctly, that's, they were going through those through that research is how he became the Hulk. He just used gamma radiation instead of
well, he didn't know, so in the MCU,
but they were trying to recreate it. Yeah,
yeah, in the MCU at least they were well, what they were trying to do, Ross was trying to straight up do another Captain America. And a lot of things, a lot of people forget that Captain America had both the superhero serum and Vita Ray injection. And so the superhero serum, it turns out, doesn't take to everybody. Some people it kills. Most people it kills. And sometimes it just mutates them. Sometimes it just stops their heart. So only certain people can take it and actually survive. Like, if you remember in Captain America the First Avenger, when it was injected into him, the injection didn't hurt, but then like the actual serum itself like burned, and then they injected the Vita rays, and that's when he was like screaming and screaming. So what Banner was working on, unbeknownst to him, he thought he was working on something else, but it turns out he was working on a superhero program. He thought that the gamma radiation was going to make it so that your body would accept the super serum and not like and not kill you or mutate you. And he was very wrong. Now, that's not how he becomes the Hulk in the comics. In the comics, there's a kid and they're doing testing with gamma radiation. There's a kid in the field, and Banner runs out to move the kid and gets hit himself. And he just gets hit with like a bomb, like a blast of gamma radiation. And instead of dying, he just becomes the Hulk.
Yeah, as it was also in the animated series.
Yes. But in the movie, in the MCU, it was a test for the superhero serum. The reason why they did that, I believe, is because they did not have Wolverine, because that is actually Wolverine's origin. They were trying to create the suit. Like, Wolverine is a mutant. But Wolverine's mutant abilities, most people think his mutant ability is like the metal claws. His mutant
ability, it's the super healing.
Super healing, yeah. And that's why they were doing tests on him. And they were like, well, what if we injected him with adamantium? And they were like, he can survive. Because at this point, they had done they'd done a lot of testing on him. And he kept regenerating. And he kept, you know, he just survived everything. So they were like, well, fuck it, let's do this. And it's actually part of Wolverine's super healing that they injected into Wade, but that's not why Wade is immortal. Wade Wilson is actually immortal. He's immortal because Thanos didn't want him to meet Lady Death because Lady Death is in love with him. So he made it so he can't die. It's a whole thing.
and that's the reason that the whole Infinity War thing happened in the comics, because he was trying to please Lady Death.
Yes. Until he finally was like, fuck you, bitch. Nothing is going to happen. Like, that's why he snapped away half of everything. Because he was like, if I kill off everything. And she was like, not like this. That's a Matrix reference for those of you who are nerd enough to get it. this is what happens when you have a movie person trying to talk politics.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me.
See? Sandlot. It's just going to be movie reference topia. So that's what they did with Isaiah. And when he finally got out, he just wanted to be left the unholy fuck alone. And I think at the end of that episode, when Sam and Bucky are talking, and Sam was pissed because he was like, why didn't anybody tell us? Why didn't you tell Steve? And basically, without saying it, Bucky kind of let him know, like, look, the dude's been through enough. If I had told Steve, Steve would have insisted that he get the recognition, and he doesn't want to get recognition. He just wants to be left alone. So basically he's honoring his wishes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get why Sam was pissed though. And it also kind of goes into the whole, like, why he turned over the shield himself. He turned over the shield partly because he didn't think he lived up to Steve's, you know, his legacy, but also because he wasn't sure the U.S. was ready for a Black Captain America. And now, after that, he knows the U.S. is not ready for a Black Captain America. But
exactly,
I think he's going to realize they may not be ready, but they're going to get it. They may not be ready, but they need it. It's like, you know, with the, in the Dark Knight, like, not the hero, the hero we deserve, not the hero we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. We may not be ready for a Black Captain America, but we need a Black Captain America.
Yeah.
Because Sam has shown there is a reason why Steve passed the shield to him.
Mm-hmm.
He is the, like, basically between Bucky and Sam, they are the, both of them are the best of Steve. You've got Bucky has the 1940s aspect and the superhero serum aspect. And Sam has,
he's got that, he's got the character that Steve had before his transformation.
Yes, exactly. He's
got the character.
Just like Erskine said, like, the serum makes good great and bad worse. And that's why he picked him and not the douchebag through the training program, because he's like, that guy's a douchebag. I want to make a good person. I want a person who is not going to turn into Homelander and try to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I want
or a John Walker.
Right. Who's just a giant tool. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I really hope that he's done being Captain America. But every single time I say that, I get pushback and people are like, you know, he's not going to be done, because this is what the US does. They do stuff. It's caught on camera. And just like in the U.S. with the police, with police brutality and, like, police murdering people, they try to spin it. Oh, well, you know, the person was on drugs. He was literally, he had his arms in the air and he's saying, I didn't do it. And he brutally murdered him. Everybody saw that. Well, you know, he was a terrorist. Mm-hmm. And they're like, if they're going to do it, if they're going to do it like the U.S. actually does, they're going to forgive him.
Mm-hmm. Or if they even reveal, like, what the United States does in other countries, like what John Walker just did, they cover it up.
Yeah.
Like, and then they'll put the journalists who cover it into jail.
Yes. And call them enemies of the state. Yes.
Free Assange, free Snowden.
Free Assange, bring Snowden home. Oh my gosh. Snowden is the Martian. Send him home. He's Matt Damon in every movie since, like, 2010. He always needs to be brought home. Saving Private Snowden. Make it happen, Disney.
There you go.
Anywho. So, yeah, we're kind of all over the place, but that's okay. It's still fun, and people are still learning some shit. what else happens in Falcon and Winter Soldier? I feel like we could just, like, take this apart and be like, here's the political aspect, and then here's more comic stuff.
Yeah, and kind of touching on that, the idea of even, like, apartheid states and the fact that, like, do you side with the Flag Smashers or are you against the Flash? I don't know whether I'm for them or against them.
Oh, I'm for them.
Yeah.
Because it's just like I was pro Killmonger. Because,
he was right.
He was.
Killmonger was right.
He was. Hashtag Killmonger was right. because, like, in Black Panther, Killmonger was like, okay, so while the rest of Africa was getting colonized and having their land literally raped from them, which, by the way, is actually still going on today. I don't want to hear any of this in the past bullshit. Slavery was over. No, it's fucking not. It's still happening today so that you can get shit for your batteries in your iPhones.
Hello, Olivia.
So, yeah. So, he was like, you know, while all that was happening, y'all were just pretending to be a poor nation that nobody wanted to invade. Meanwhile, you were literally the richest nation on Earth, and you could have helped all those people. And he's got a point. Like, if the country of Wakanda had opened up its borders to all of their neighbors and allowed them all of the advanced machinery and weapons that they had, there's no way the colonizers could have taken hold of the continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have had a strong African continent, but they didn't. They decided to be selfish and hold on to it. And that's why he was like, nah, we're helping the diaspora. Being a part of that diaspora, I'm Team Killmonger. So
100%.
Just saying.
And that goes to another story that I heard just recently about, like, what happened when the UK went into India. Like, India was known as this hot, you know, this land of just plenty, where they would create these beautiful fabrics, these beautiful silks that would never have been made anywhere else in the world. And when they invaded in India, like, they smashed their hands, like, cut off their thumbs, that way they could never make them again, took the raw resources, sent them back to the UK, and you could never replicate that type of material the way that it was made in India.
So India is Thanos, destroyed, and they went, or India is Nidavellir, UK is Thanos, and they went in and destroyed Aichi's hands.
Yes.
Not to, like, reduce it, but that's pretty much what you just said. I feel like they took that from what actually happened. Like, it's art imitating life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's very true. Just, and you see it, you see what that destruction has caused in India. India's never bounced back.
Nope. Yeah, man, colonizing is a hell of a drug, man. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. But, yeah. I'm just wondering who the next empire is going to be, because, like, we're at the end. Like, this is the final season of the U.S. Empire. So, I don't know who, like, is going to be the big empire to come up. And it can't be China, because they're too enmeshed with us. Can't be Japan. They're not as... Anybody who's globally connected, when the U.S. and U.K., when the Western countries, the colonizers, if you will, when they go down, they're taking those other countries with them that are enmeshed. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, oh, the U.K. is going to go down, but the rest of Europe will be fine. Nope. They're horribly enmeshed. And the U.S. is so enmeshed with China that they're going to go down too. So,
and that's exactly why whenever the U.S. has an economic crisis like 2008, the rest of the world falls along with it, because everything is based on the U.S. economy.
Yeah. Speaking of, that's about to happen again.
Yeah.
Like, probably
100%.
The first domino has already fallen. A hedge fund went under, and that was the first domino that fell for the 2008 collapse. And since we put no restrictions on them and did nothing but bail them out and gave them bonuses, they had no incentive to not do it again. So they did it again.
Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't have happened this year, but COVID kind of sped that up. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can say whatever. Like, I know people like to hate on FDR, but I mean, at least one of the things about what FDR did was he put in all those regulations, put them in place, like Glass-Steagall. Glass-Steagall, and of course, it was Clinton, not Republicans, who abolished Glass-Steagall. Like, only a Democrat could do that. Let's be real.
Yeah, but I was going to say, like, FDR put those regulations in place so that Clinton could come and take them. You would think that if anybody was going to take those down, it would have been... It probably would have been either Reagan or Bush. Nope. It was Clinton.
And that's basically because of the fact that, like, Republicans are known as the party of business. Democrats as the party of the people. Unfortunately, that's not true, especially after the DLC took over.
Yeah. There's no party of the people. There's just a party of the corporations.
Yeah.
And when people think, like, oh, corporations don't want war, corporations absolutely want war, because corporations are funding the weapons. Like, they're the ones who make the weapons, so they need money so that they can go golfing and shit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder, like, if we got rid of golfing, would, like, Is that like the plan to get rid of like the evil Lex Luthers in our world?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think golfing is necessarily that elitist of a sport. Like for instance, my dad, he's a nurse, but he golfs on the weekends. It's just like, mm-hmm. and there are so many golf courses that are open to basically anyone. So I don't know that golf is necessarily an elitist sport, but it is very much treated like an elitist sport, considering that's where so much networking occurs.
That's what I'm talking about. It's the network. Like, the evil plans are done on the golf course. They're not done. Yes. Like, the paperwork is signed in the office, but they're planned on the golf course. That's why I'm like, maybe exactly. if we just abolish golfing.
But then they would just have their martini lunches and
their smoke rooms. I don't mm-hmm. know. Basically, the world is actually run by Lex Luthers, and there's no Superman.
Yeah.
We don't even have a Captain America. Like, this, yeah, I mean, we're just not doing okay.
This kind of goes into another realm of who is the real villain, Batman or Joker? Because Batman yes. is a billionaire who could easily solve so many of the world's problems just by giving up so much of his money, and he's using it to make toys to be vigilante.
Yes, to instead of therapy. Also, there's the angle of the Joker. Like, have you read the Injustice comic or played the games?
Oh my god, I love Injustice.
Okay, so that, like, Clark actually asked Bruce this after he kills the Joker. So in the Injustice line, Lois really is the key to Superman's humanity, because the mm-hmm. Joker killed, the Joker makes Superman kill Lois, and she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then when Superman comes back, because, like, he goes off to Earth because he thinks he's fighting somebody else, but he's not, and he kills her. And then when he comes to and realizes...
Didn't he use Scarecrow's fear gas?
Yes, he added kryptonite to the fear toxin. That's how it works.
Yes, yes.
And he made thought it was him funny, think Doomsday. He was fighting... Doomsday. And so instead of... So he... punched him several times and took him off. He was like, I'm just going to get rid of you. And he rocketed up to the sky to throw him into space. And then the fear toxin wore off and he realized he had killed Lois. Mm-hmm. And the Joker had also attached a bomb to Lois's heartbeat so that when her heart stopped, it would blow up Metropolis. Well, he attached a detonator to her heartbeat, but the bombs were in Metropolis. And so when her heart stopped, it blew up Metropolis, which is Superman's home. So when he came back down and Batman was interrogating the Joker, Superman put his hand through the Joker's chest.
Yep.
Murdered him instantly. Mm-hmm. And the look on Batman's face on that panel. Never going to forget that. But then later, you know, they have various conversations throughout. And one of their conversations, I think this is after he had captured Clark, because Clark after that point, Superman goes full on dictator, like global mm-hmm. dictator. And he's like, you're going to stop. No more wars. If I see another nuclear weapon, I'm coming for you. And so, of course, all of the countries were like, who the fuck is this guy? We're going to keep fighting. And Superman comes down and, like, wrecks shit. And he's like, I said stop. And he's like, very angry father. And so, and then Wonder Woman is like, yeah, I like being a dictator. Let's do this. So, yeah, I was like, didn't see that coming.
That seems very out of Wonder Woman's character. Let's be real. Like, I honestly didn't buy, like, I didn't buy it. I did not buy Wonder Woman as siding with a Superman. I don't know right? why. I just didn't buy it.
She was a dick the whole time. Like, I kind of felt like it was an Elseworld Wonder Woman because she did not seem like Diana.
Yeah.
Because, like, Diana, her whole thing is, like, freedom and, like, helping people. And this love. Was like, I will kill people to get you to stop killing other people. And it's like, well, then how are you any better? So
exactly.
And especially, like, when what he did to Shazam. Holy shit! How did you not turn on him right then? Shazam is a kid anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was bad. Okay, so mm-hmm. there's a conversation between Clark and Bruce. And Clark was asking Bruce why he never killed the Joker himself. Because all those people, Arkham Asylum could never hold the Joker. Ever. Mm-hmm. Every time Batman, you know, gets him, he puts him in Arkham Asylum. Whenever Joker decides to get out, he gets out. He is never going to stay there permanently. He's always going to be able to get out. And Superman was like, you know this. And yet you just kept putting him in Arkham Asylum. All the people that he murdered after you didn't kill him are on, their blood is on your hands. And I'm like, that's actually kind of a good point. Because every time he got out, he killed hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Every time. Like, and it's just a joke for him. It's literally a joke because he's a psychopath. And so he's not like in The Dark Knight, because in The Dark Knight, he's an agent of chaos. He's, I can't think of a movie portrayal of him that is accurate. Sadly, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think I might say this. The closest to comic book Joker might actually be Zack Snyder's version at the end of Snyderverse.
And actually, I would probably agree with you.
Because he's not, like in the comics, he's not just an agent of chaos. Like, he kills motherfuckers for fun. And it's not a chaos thing. It's to fuck with people, and because he's psychotic. And he's, if you see his relationship with Harley Quinn, like, he doesn't, like, the Joker in The Dark Knight is way too nice than the Joker in the comics. Like, way nicer. Because the Joker in The Dark Knight made sense. He had a plan. Joker in the comics, he joins up with people who have plans, and then he backstabs them. Like, he just, he's going to do what he's going to do. Like, he may have plans, but those plans involve a lot of people dying. And it's not like, oh, will those people choose to die, or will they choose to kill? No, like, he's going to kill them. Like, he's going to blow people up, and then he's going to shoot a bunch of people, and he's going to hit a bunch of people in the head with a bat, and then he's going to dance around Batman and be like, I can't kill you. We're having too much fun. Like, that's the Joker in the comics. The Joker in The Dark Knight was just like, oh, I have a plan. Like, I want to introduce chaos. Like, no, that's a bit mild for a comic book Joker. And I think Jared Leto actually is the closest. Like, not necessarily in Suicide Squad, because he's not like a gangster. No. But the Joker that we see at the end of the Snyderverse, where he's fucking with Batman, and he's clearly psychotic. Like, that's closer to comic book Joker. I can't believe I just said that. That's so wrong.
And I think you can definitely see those influences in Zack Snyder's work, especially Batman versus Superman and Justice League, is that they are very much based on Dark Knight Returns. Yes. And Injustice.
Yes.
You can see the thread of injustice in his work.
Yeah, because he keeps saying Lois is the key.
Exactly.
And like, you after Lois dies, coming. Superman just goes apeshit, which that's injustice.
Yeah, they just, he's combining the apocalypse storyline with the injustice storyline.
Yes. And he's using the anti-life equation to like kind of get away with it.
Exactly.
But yeah. But he is, so he is, he's weird, you know, I'll give you that, but he's still right.
You know what's kind of funny too, is that when you really think about Injustice and how Joker was able to do that to Superman, it's kind of the his redoing the Killing Joke and it working, considering like the whole idea
one
of the
bad day. Joke, oh my God, you're day. Right. Oh.
And what does he do? Like, he makes him kill his own wife and his own baby.
And then kill him and turn into a dictator.
Then creating, and then also blowing up Metropolis, then killing him, becoming a dictator. One bad day can make you go mad.
Holy shit, I never made that connection, but you're absolutely right. And it doesn't end with a creepy Batman laugh. Wow. Wow. Huh. Interesting. I never thought of it like that, but you're absolutely right. That is the Injustice storyline. It's one bat.
It's the Killing Joke.
It's the Killing Joke fulfilled. See, that's what he did. He went after Batman with the Killing Joke. He should have gone after Superman. There it is.
Well, he went through, he was trying to get to Batman through Gordon. He was trying to get Gordon to have the very bad day.
Yes.
But he was the one who's like, no, take him by the book. I'm not going to prove him right.
Right. But he did better. But because in Injustice, he was trying to get to Superman through Lois. But exactly. It worked perfectly. I still say, like, why is Superman's humanity tied to Lois Lane when he had human parents? He was raised as a human. and he had human parents. And that's also why I didn't like Brightburn, because he was raised as a human and had human parents, and like the ship called to him, which is the laziest writing ever. And then he's just like, oh, instant bad guy. Like, what? No, give him a reason. Have somebody else, you know what would have made Brightburn really good? Have somebody else kill his parents and he was unable to stop it. And then he gets his powers and that's when he goes bad. And he doesn't have his mom there to walk him through getting his powers. Like, remember in Man of Steel when Clark got his powers and he was a little kid and his mom came and like, it's his mom. His mom should be his tie to humanity, not Lois Lane. Because like, if Lois Lane dies, but his mom is still alive, she should be the one to be able to bring him back. So I think the writers have that wrong. I think that his mom is Superman's tie to being human. And I think Brightburn would have been better had they realized that. Had have somebody else kill off his parents and then have him go through that like superpower puberty, but do it afraid and alone with nobody to help him, just like Homelander. And then, like, that makes sense as to why he's bad, because he now has no moral compass.
Yeah, you need some kind of motivation. Nothing happens just from a flick of a switch, or at least very rarely does.
Exactly.
But, you know what's really interesting, too, is that I was watching a video about the women in Zack Snyder's films. And one of the things that it did bring up about Man of Steel was the connection to mothers. And how important mothers are. Because the fact that his mother sacrificed being with her son because she knew that the planet was going to die and she had to save his life. And then, of course, and then his relationship with Martha, which, of course, was the big connection between him and Batman, and Batman v Superman was their connection to their mother.
Yeah, which I still say nobody's saying Martha. You would say mom. And by the way, that would actually make more sense. Because for Batman to be fighting him and for him to say mom, he would stop and be like, oh, he has a mother. Duh. Not, why'd you say that name? Who? If somebody said my mother's name, I would be like, well, it's a common name. I mean, my mom's name is not even common. But if somebody said my mom's name, I wouldn't immediately assume you were talking about my mother. I would be like, it's another woman with somebody else's name. Like, it's just, why would you? Martha's like Kelly. It's a very common name. Why would he like at least give her an uncommon name, but you can't do that because this is comics and they, you know, the names are what they are. So you just use the term mother. It would have worked. It would have made more sense.
My mom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or you know what? He wouldn't have even like to me. It kind of pisses me off to have like that whole fight. There was no motivation for that because Superman could have found her in about 3 seconds. Just like he found Lois from a different continent, he could have found his mom down the block. The man can see through buildings. Just saying. But I think what would have had they had real motivation to fight, you could have still had that moment where Superman cries for his mommy, just like a real person would cry for their mommy when they're getting their ass handed to them. And then it could have been like, oh, whoa, he's not a god. He's a human because I just beat his ass so bad he cried for his mommy. And like, oh, okay. And that could have given Batman pause to be like, oh, he was raised here. He is more like a human. But they didn't bother to give him a reason to fight. So then why bother give him a reason to stop? Like, two and a half hour movie called Batman v Superman. They fight for 30 seconds. Bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was my biggest beef with that movie. It was just the fact, like, they did give Batman enough motivation, I feel, of seeing Wayne Enterprises come down and seeing Superman as the cause of that and being like, you know, he's a cause of destruction. He's a weapon of mass destruction and he needs to be stopped. But
they basically turned Bruce Wayne into Amanda Waller.
Yeah. They never gave Superman motivation of why he would want to take out Batman.
In the 9-hour cut, if you watch that, there are like two scenes that give him like an nth, not Nth Metal, because I know we're talking Batman. That's actually a thing. Not Nth Metal, but like they give him like a smidge of motivation. What it is, like, is
the branding.
The branding. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the branding is stupid because like even the branding doesn't make sense. Okay, so Batman is branding pedophiles and putting them in jail. And then when the pedophiles are in jail, they get murdered. Well, in real life, when pedophiles go to jail, they tend to get murdered because that's like the one thing that's not cool for criminals. It's like you can fuck with other people, but you don't fuck with kids. Mm-hmm. So in real life, that would have happened anyway without branding. Mm-hmm. So the branding just kind of expedited the process. So I don't see why Batman's really getting blamed for that, because like go to any prison, like that's just in Gotham. But if you go to the prisons in Metropolis, I'm sure the pedophiles got killed there too. Mm-hmm. So, and they didn't have to be branded by the Bat.
Yeah.
So to me, that's still not motivation.
Not really, no.
Fight Batman.
Yeah, that was not the, like, if they had done what they do in the comics and have it really be a battle of ideologies, then
but in order
do
to
you
do that,
do that?
You can't do that the second movie out. You have to
put,
this has to be like a Civil War type event. This has to be the Civil War was what, the 13th movie in?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you do Batman v Superman.
Yeah,
don't,
and that's
do it number that, two.
And you just pointed out the exact problem with Warner Brothers' whole strategy of the fact that they had Man of Steel, but then they saw that Marvel was had already had Avengers. So they're like, you know what, we have Justice League. We need a Justice League movie. So we need to ramp this baby up. So people were upset about Man of Steel kind of being like Batman. So why don't we just bring in Batman? It's like, no, give Batman his own movie. Don't bring him into a Superman movie. Give him his own movie.
You know what? There's still a way they could have done it, and it still would have worked. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch the Justice League cartoon?
That if is you... one of the very few cartoons I haven't watched. I need to.
Oh, dude,
I know I do.
Yeah.
It's one of the few I haven't.
It's so good. So the way they did it, literally second episode, Justice League. It starts out, Batman, like Superman has been established. Batman has been established. Now, technically, it is technically part of a bigger universe because like they call it the DCE, the DCAU, like the DC
animated
Comics
universe.
Animated universe. And technically you have Superman who has his own set. Batman has his own set, so that when you start Justice League, they have technically already been established. But if you never bothered to watch their cartoons, me, and you just started on Justice League because it came on Netflix one day and you were like, eh, fuck it. You can still follow along because you still know who Batman is. You know who Superman is. And one day, like it starts out with like freaky stuff is happening. And it turns out Martian Manhunter. So basically, like Martian Manhunter, in the same way that that Cyborg was the tie to the Snyder cut of the Justice League, mm-hmm. it's like that, but with Martian Manhunter. It turns out Martian Manhunter is being held captive, and he's sending out messages to Superman telekinetically. But it's like he's having a hard time getting through because he's like underground and he's like buried and everything. And so they end up freeing him, and Batman is like on the case of something else. And it turns out that these Martians, they're not actually Martians. They're from another planet, but they've already gone to Mars and they fucked up Mars, which is why Martian Manhunter is alone. And he was guarding this one place to keep them from coming. Like if they ever come back, he's like the guardian, you know, and they came back. And because on a mission, a U.S. mission to Mars, one of our astronauts like fucked some shit up and ended up being like basically like taken over by like a symbiote. So like the DC version of Venom has taken over an astronaut. Right. And he fucked up Martian Manhunter. Like he brought Martian Manhunter back. And they're like, because Martian Manhunter came. Like as soon as he saw that happen, he came to the Earth to try to warn us. But then they captured him, and they've like kept him captive. And so Superman keeps getting visions, and he goes and frees him. And then Martian Manhunter explains, like, "Look, you're about to be like I'm a Martian. I'm the last of my kind. Earth is about to be attacked by these aliens, And then all of these heroes, like when the aliens attack, just it's kind of like Avengers, but unlike Avengers, instead of it only happening in New York, like it's a worldwide attack. It's more like Independence Day meets Avengers. So it's like around the world. And so the superheroes have to come together. Anybody with powers is like, oh, we got to stop this, you know? So all the powered people just like kind of show up because they're needed. Just like in the Avengers. It's like with the end of the Avengers when Hill was like, how do you know they'll come back? And Fury's like, because we'll need them to. It's just like that. They yeah. all come back, or they all come together and they defeat the aliens. And now you have your seven people. You've got mm-hmm. your Green Lantern. You start out with Batman and Superman. Then you add Martian Manhunter. Wonder Woman shows up. Aquaman comes in later, I think. He doesn't come in like immediately. But you have Green Lantern and Hawkgirl. Mm-hmm. And they're all introduced in the first like 2-3 episodes. And it's because there's this invasion coming. And they're like, okay, we have to help. Like, this is something that... So basically what it has to be is... It has to be something that Superman himself cannot defend. So other people have to come. And Batman used his detective skills to figure out what it is. And Martian Manhunter ends up joining to help. And you introduce all the heroes in one film and you act like they're pre-established, but you just like throughout the action, you get to see what their powers are. So you forego exposition. You just kind of jump in and you watch them move along. And then from there, you can have each of them have their solo films where how they got their powers are explained. You can do character development, but you need to have like a massive event to introduce like an alien invasion, a massive event to introduce all of the characters. They come together because they're like, yo, I need to help because the planet is at stake. Had they done that, basically what they did with Justice League, but instead of having Batman go around and find people, you just have these characters kind of show up on their own. And it's like, yeah, there are more powered people here. Look, let's just get the aliens gone. And then afterwards, you can do solo adventures. That still would have worked.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that. Instead,
another example.
Emails.
Another example of that very situation that you just talked about was the animated film Justice League War. They did the exact same thing there. Yeah. Only it was Cyborg, Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Flash, and Shazam. And one of the things that I liked at the very end of that is how they really, Diana basically said, oh yeah, you know, we're basically like the new gods. You know, you have Batman, who's Hades. You have the Flash, who is Hermes.
Yes.
You have, I mean, and just like in here, Aquaman didn't come into the next movie. Superman is basically Zeus, or no, Shazam is Zeus.
Yes. Doug would say Shazam has the lightning. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they're basically the new gods.
Yeah. Although there are new gods now, but they're not the same thing.
Yeah, that's Darkseid. And
comics are complicated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Darkseid became a new guy. It was a weird thing. Anywho. But yeah, they could have done that. I'm just saying. It could have worked. Okay. So I like this idea. I think that we should do Nerdolitics. Oh. There it is.
There you go.
Yes. Politics through a nerd's perspective.
There you go.
Loving it. Yeah. New series. Okay. Anything you would like to plug, Miss Killjoy?
I just follow me at Killjoy Meg on Twitter. Other projects are still in fruition.
Nifty. And you can follow me at Fred Hampton Leftist or at Pulse Jackie on Twitter. And if you want to hear other comic book takes, you can follow me at Cinematic Adventures Podcast. Either way, one of those three. But come back next week. Might be some more nerdologics. If you like this episode, do us a favor. If you're listening through Apple, give us a 5-star rating or any other app. Drop us a like. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can hear new episodes when they come out. Thanks. Salam, 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 salam.